I've made a mess. I'm sorry. There we go. Hi, everybody. It's nice to see you again. If you don't remember me or if you're new here, my name's Sarah. Every once in a while, I come for a visit. I work for Young Life, and this church is very generous in its partnership with Young Life, including sometimes letting me have a microphone, which is fun. I'm really excited today. I get to talk to you guys about a personal biblical hero of mine, and that is the Lady Deborah. And so when I was growing up, when I was very little, my family went to church and then we did not go to church for a long time. But when I was very little, I remember hearing about the heroes of the Bible. But it was always Daniel and David and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was always those ferocious boys that did these ferocious things. And there was no ferocious girls. And I was like, why isn't there? I feel like I'm ferocious, which at the time I probably was, not in a good way. I was kind of one of those ferocious girls. But Deborah there's so much to glean from Deborah. When you sit and you read, she's just in two little chapters in Judges, just two little chapters. But when you read about Deborah, you're like, man, this woman kicks butt. She is incredible. And one of the things that's incredible is how my phone should not be on, friends. I apologize. That's completely inappropriate in church, especially when you're the speaker. Turn your phones off. I did that on purpose to remind you. Just kidding. Well, that was embarrassing and probably recorded. Super cool. Hi, Kevin. All right. So back to Deborah. So this is the thing, is that Deborah is introduced in the most chill, nonchalant way. So I'm just going to, we're going to pull up that scripture. So this is Deborah being introduced. I can't read that, so I'm going to read it from here. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. Okay, so how many of you guys have had children? Okay, so here's the thing. You spend your whole life knowing people have children, and it's no big deal. But then you have a child, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is crazy amazing, right? Something about knowing the story more deeply makes you go, wow, that's kind of like Deborah. It's written in this way, like, no big deal. Deborah was a prophet and a judge, no big deal. She just was leading all of Israel, and they were coming to her with their disputes. No big deal. But when you stop and you think about the fact that Deborah was a woman in a patriarchal society, it was a big deal. That was a big, big deal. But the Bible's like, yeah, it's just chill. No big deal. Just Deborah. Okay, here's the other thing that's a big deal. Deborah was a prophet, and Deborah was a judge. Deborah held two incredibly enormous offices in Israel. And it's kind of like, the best way I can describe it in like Canadian terms, it's kind of like if the prime minister was also the leader of the opposition. Like, you don't get to sit in those two seats. You see, the judges were the people that God, or Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, kind of told Moses, you have to stop settling everyone's disputes. Everyone's coming to you, talking about their petty little arguments, and you're getting overworked and overtired, so you're going to make a system to, like, help people settle their disputes. So Moses appointed a whole bunch of judges, and then they kind of were, like, ranked. So, like, the bigger issues would go up the line, and then, like, the biggest issues would come to Moses. And so there was all these judges, and they kind of were the ones that doled out the law when the law wasn't super clear. And that was important. It's important, you know, to have people who help you figure out whether or not that guy stole your cow and if he needs to give you a cow in exchange or, like, whatever, all these things. And I think it's brilliant that finally there was a woman doing this, because as moms, I feel like we do this every single day. Okay, I know that Shiloh ate your jelly beans, but there are no more jelly beans left. So you need to stop stealing Shiloh's chocolate. That's not a good way. Why don't we sit down and settle this and have a discussion about fairness and compensation while the children scream at each other? I feel like Deborah, finally there's a woman in this role doing what moms do every day. Perfect. I love it. Deborah's in charge. But not only is Deborah in charge of that, but Deborah now also is holding the office of prophet. And the office of prophet was kind of the person who kept the law in check. So if the judges were, you know, going off course or getting corrupt, and later on the kings, it was the prophet who came and corrected them. They were the voice of God to the nation. Somehow, Deborah ended up holding both offices. And as far as I know, and I might be wrong, because I don't have the whole thing memorized, but I don't know of another place in Scripture where someone held both of those offices. So not only was Deborah a woman, and she was a judge, and not only was Deborah a woman who was a prophet, but she was a person holding both those offices. That's incredible. Like, wouldn't that go to your head? I feel like that would go to my head. But let's get to know Deborah a little bit better. So the thing you need to know before we need to read the next scripture is at this time, Israel was being oppressed by the king of Canaan. And he had a general named Sisera who had loads of army. It says he has 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. And so the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. So they are under this incredible oppression, and here is Deborah sitting under her tree. She's just doling out judgments, telling the children to behave and be nice to each other. And all of a sudden, she sends for Barak. And Barak was kind of the general of the current armies in Israel. So she sends to Barak and she says, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Go take you with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them to the Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." So now she's operating. She's been sitting there being a judge, mediating for everybody. But all of a sudden, Deborah's like, okay, I need to step into the office of prophet for a second here. The Lord has said some things. Hey, Barak, I need you to come. We're going to go get these guys. He's going to lead Sisera into your hands. Now, if you go and you read lots of the other places in the Old Testament where prophets speak, and they're telling kings and they're telling other leaders, listen, God says go here. Listen, God says take this many men. Listen, God says you, even though you've lost all these men, you're going to take these 300 and you're going to defeat thousands. And the thing is that you see it over and over again in Israel's history. You have to take the word of a prophet, don't you? Trust me, you're the one God has called. I think of David. I think of the patience David had to believe Samuel that he was going to become king. Well, turns out Barak was a little bit of a chicken. Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." What strikes me about this is two things. First of all, Barak basically put Deborah in the position of God. Deborah was just supposed to be the messenger to Barak to say, God's going to do this through you, Barak. You're the guy God has chosen. He is going to lead Sisera into your hands. And Barak, instead of taking that mantle of authority and going, thank you, Deborah, I'm going to run with that, he's like, well, only if you're coming with me. So Barak was trying to put his trust in Deborah instead of his trust in God. Now, I'm going to go back to this whole thing. Prophet, judge, woman, I'd get a swelled head. Now, Barak wants to put this woman literally in his own life in the place of God. I don't trust God, but I'll trust you, Deborah. Man, wouldn't that give you a little bit of swagger? Wouldn't, in that moment, wouldn't you be like, why, yes, I am Deborah. because that's human nature. But here's where you find out through the rest of the story what an incredible leader Deborah is. Because not only does she not take on that mantle and that swagger, not only does she have incredible humility, but she doesn't even take the glory for herself in the end. It blows my mind. All of a sudden I realize why Deborah got to hold all those positions, why God trusted her so much. She says, "Certainly I will go with you, but because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." And so Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. So she said, "Okay, I'm going to go, but just so we're clear, you're going to lose the honor that was going to be yours, Barak. Sisera is going to be delivered into the hands of a woman." Again, in a patriarchal society, that's got to sting a little bit. I wonder the conversations Barak was having back home with his wife. Because if I was Barak's wife, I'd probably be getting a little swagger now too. Look at all these women in your life you're listening to, Barak. So what's amazing is they go, and even then, Barak still needs Deborah to cheer him on. Even after all of that, in verse 14 it says, "Go! This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down to the Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men followed him. Now here's the fun part. The fun part is they defeat Sisera's army, but Sisera sneaks away. Sisera ends up in the tent. This is so good. Of Jael, Heber's wife. So he thought this must be safe because he was friends with Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the family of Heber the Kenite. So he's sitting down there and he's like, I'm going to go where it's safe. I'm going to run away. The chicken Sisera. It's all these dudes being chickens in this story. So he's hiding in this tent and he sees Jael. And Jael's like, "Oh no, it's fine. Come in. Don't worry." And gives him some milk. And he lays down. And Jael's the one that gets him. So Barak had this opportunity to come home a hero, but it was Jael, this other woman sitting in a tent away from the armies, that ended up defeating the ruler of this army. It was a woman. And again, I want to go back to, what does that say about Deborah? See, when Deborah said, "God is going to deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman," she wasn't even meaning herself. Deborah, who was a prophet and a judge and now leading an army. She didn't even take the glory for herself. The honor was in the hands of a different woman. I love this story about Deborah, not just because Deborah was a powerful woman, but she was a humble, powerful woman that God trusted. She wasn't in that position for herself, for her own glory. She didn't have swagger. She was just obedient to God. She was so incredibly obedient to God. And the amazing thing to me is, if it wasn't enough that she was a woman in a high position, which women usually weren't in Israel, if it wasn't enough that she was both a prophet and a judge, which was impressive, that's a good resume, it wasn't enough that she was humble, that she was the leader of an army, that she had the wisdom to settle disputes. She had all these incredible qualities. But did you know she was also an artist? The whole next chapter is devoted to Deborah's song. It says she sang this song afterwards, and it was this song about the battle. Deborah was a talented lady. And that makes me think about a number of things. Deborah inspires me because as a woman, I still live in a culture that is often patriarchal, that often tells women to sit down, that often tells women that we cannot teach. You guys are leading the charge in incredible things by having a female pastor on staff. Awesome. I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited that your associate pastor is a woman. There's some churches that are like, we'll let the children's pastor be a woman. But you guys have an associate pastor as a woman, as a young woman with small children. The fact that you care about that other voice is so beautiful. That you can see that when someone is called, it doesn't matter what gender they are. I hope that you would see it won't matter what color they are, what age they are. That God calls all people to him. That he gifts us joint and severally. Now, I don't know, other than God, how Deborah got to be a prophet and a judge in a society that traditionally had men in those roles. It doesn't tell me the story of how she got there. But I can extrapolate from the rest of it that she didn't get there by fighting for it. I can extrapolate from the rest of the story that she was a humble woman that just wanted to honor God. And so that's the second thing that inspires me about Deborah. Not as a woman, just as a person. Am I trying to claw my way into positions of power? Am I trying to steal a voice of authority from someone else? I hope I'm not. I hope I'm like Deborah. I hope that like Deborah, I would be willing to faithfully sit under a tree and allow my gifts to make way for me, which is what Scripture says, your gifts will make way for you. Not your vying, not your pushing ahead. Deborah's gifts made way for her. And because she was faithful, the Lord spoke to her and through her. That's incredible, the humility of Deborah. That's incredible. And the last thing that I love about this story, that I love about Deborah that inspires me, is even when she had the opportunity, even when she had the opportunity to wear the crown, to take the glory and the honor for herself, Deborah did not do that. Deborah knew that she was a piece in a puzzle of what God was doing. And when the opportunity was afforded to her to be the hero, to be the champion, Deborah wasn't actually the hero of this story. It was Jael. Deborah stepped aside and let someone else have the glory. That blows my mind because we are so bad at that in our culture. I hope that when you think of Deborah and when you think of all the heroes of the Bible, I hope that you don't just think about what was their story, what did they conquer, what did God do from them, but I hope you sit and you read those stories and you think about their humanity and that you place yourself in that story and think about how you would respond and that you give yourself the opportunity to recognize that these were ordinary people that God used in extraordinary ways, and every single one of us has the capacity to have the faithfulness and the obedience that Deborah and Daniel and David and all of the heroes of the Bible had. But it requires a level of willingness to allow God to shape our character. I think Deborah was where she is because she allowed God to shape her character. I think she got to hold the most powerful positions in Israel because she was humble and faithful. Because she was willing. And I think she was allowed to because the people around her saw her gifts in her and they trusted God, even if it was weird for them and hard for them. And the last thing I just want to say is, she could have not called Barak to fight the injustice of the oppression of the Israelites. She could have sat happily under her little tree, doling out judgments. She could have told Barak no when he said, come with me. Be on the front lines with me. She could have chickened out, but she was also a woman of great courage. I want to be like Deborah. I want to be the person that when they see oppression and injustice, that they are willing to hear the voice in the heart of God and go. And I want to be like Deborah, that when there is the opportunity to take that glory for myself, I pass it on. And I want to be like Deborah in that I let God shape my character so that he can trust me like he trusted Deborah.